Having accepted Mr. Vincent Crummell's offer of a position with his company, Nicholas finds himself inspecting the Portsmouth Theatre Royal with the actor manager.
Here we are, sir. The theatre. Well?
This is a theatre. I thought it was full of things and bright lights.
That's at night, Mike. In the daylight, it's just...
Nicholas's attention is demanded by the sight of... A little girl in a dirty white frock, short trousers, sandal shoes, pink gauze bonnet, green veil and curlers who... performs until... A shabby gentleman in dressing gown and slippers appears... waving a walking stick. At which the child sinks to the ground in... a posture.
The Indian savage and the maiden.
Ah, I see.
Affectionate.
Oh, yes, absolutely, sir. Bravo!
This, sir, the maiden. Jump up, me dear. Is my daughter, Miss Ninetta Crummell's, otherwise the infant phenomenon.
Your daughter?
The idol positively of everywhere we go. Must be seen to be appreciated. Make your bow, my dear, to Mr...
Nicholas, under some cautious star, has not used his own name, but is known now as...
Mr. Johnson. And off you go. And this gentleman here?
The savage, I assume, sir.
Linville.
First tragedian. Sir, how do you do?
How do you do?
Talent there, eh? In the phenomenon.
No, quite.
How old?
10, sir. Not a day over.
Amazing.
Ain't it?
Linville, look after Johnson here. I must see to the carpenter.
You recruit?
A very unworthy one.
Oh, compared to that, your keen and Macreadian one.
Linville?
But I am failing in my duty, Johnson. Let me introduce you to the rest of the company.
Which the tragedian proceeds to do, bringing forward a number of gentlemen specializing in low-spirited lovers and tenor songs, comic countrymen, virtuous ancients, old sots and young, a roving-looking person, and so on. As to the ladies, there are the Lady Macbeths, the nurses, and Miss Belvorney, who rarely plays anything but goes on in white silk hose and stands with one leg slightly bent, contemplating the audience. And finally, Juliet, Cordelia Cleopatra, the lovely Miss Snevellicci.
Sir, did you ever play at Canterbury?
No, never.
The stature, the warmth, the magnetism in one so young, I'm sure we've met before somewhere.
If I had ever met you, Miss Snevellicci, I should never have forgotten that.
Oh, sir, you flatter to deceive.
I really tell the truth.
Well, enough of this. There's work to be done.
Sir, ladies and gentlemen, we'll call the first rehearsal for the mortal struggle for 10 Monday morning. All right with you, Johnson?
With me, sir.
You'll have finished it by then.
What? My invention is not accustomed to these demands. If I'd had more practice...
What the devil has invention got to do with it? Do you understand French?
Yes.
Splendid. Then just turn that into English, will you? And put your name on the title page.
Won't Monsieur Racine object?
Never. Us artists are the soul of generosity. Oh, and I want a first-rate heroine part for La Snevellicci.
But I haven't written anything yet.
Well, when you do, dear friend, give me a beautiful death, won't you? In the arms of my lover.
I shall do my very best.
Let's speak, of course you will. Oh, and we need a pas de deux for the phenomenon. Got lodgings yet?
No.
Linville, old fellow. Go along with Johnson. Show him your digs. There's a room free there, ain't there? Oh, and give him Romeo to study.
Oh, but sir, Romeo, surely you don't expect me to...
Snevellicci as Juliet. That I see. And you, young sir, as Romeo. Vision. Always vision with me. And you, sir...
Me? What do you want with me, sir?
You will be the apothecary in Romeo and Juliet.
But, I could never...
Never? This is the theatre, my dear. And for us, the word never does not exist. Oh, and Johnson, don't forget the working pump and two-tub.
And with these words, Mr. Crummles expels Nicholas Smike and Mr. Lenville into the street.
How on earth am I supposed to introduce a dance into this phaedon? It's a tragedy.
The way the phenomenon dances, it will be.
Nicholas works away at the piece, which is speedily put into rehearsal and, in remarkably quick time, takes its place amongst the other Crummles Company productions. And Nicholas himself takes a small place amongst the cast and makes a small but noticeable effect upon the audience. What is incontestable is the success of the new romantic leading pair, Johnson and Snevellicci.
Oh, my love. Still my amorous agitations. For the dust is sure to give away our guilty secret to my husband.
Never. Oh. Love bows before all things. Oh. But best to be careful. Wash the dust from thee. I shall draw cool water from this pump whilst you cast aside your shift and bathe in this tub.
Which nobody begrudges.
Good, but flashy.
Much. However, the news that Mr. Johnson will star next as Romeo to La Snevellicci's Juliet is causing Smike at least some concern, since he has indeed been given the part of apothecary.
You really think I can do it, Mr. Nicholas?
As soon as you get the lines in your head, why, I can't think of a better apothecary.
Maybe if you could go over them, saying them to me bit by bit, I'd have them in no time.
That's a capital idea. We'll see who tires first, eh? And I'll bet it won't be me. Now, there's a knocking at your door.
Oh, is that someone at the door? Shall I go?
No, Smike. That's me. It happens in the play. Knocking at the door, the apothecary says, "Who calls so loud?" Right, now, you say it. Who calls so loud?
Who calls so loud?
Right! Now, we'll do it. Here we go. Smike?
Yeah?
What? Who calls so loud?
I don't know. I can't hear no one.
No. When you hear a knocking like this, you say, "Who calls so loud?"
But why do I say that?
Because that is what Shakespeare wrote on the page for the apothecary to say. Never mind why. Who calls so loud? Got it?
Who calls so loud? Who calls so loud?
Now, here we go. Smike, when you hear this knocking, you say, "Who calls so loud?" Oh, say it with me. Who calls so loud? Excellent.
Who calls so loud? Who calls so loud? Who calls so loud? Who calls so loud?
Bravo! Hey!
I remembered! Who calls so loud?
Once Smike begins to acquire the words, he finds his progress increases. The pair rehearse all night, all day, and soon he is the apothecary.
Who calls so loud?
What a dear he is, that Mr. Smike.
Oh, how very kind of you to say so, Miss Snevellicci. I shall pass on your congratulations.
Damned close fellow, though, that friend of yours, Johnson.
Oh, Lenville, are you here? Is this your scene?
It was before our friend Johnson took up acting. But I was thinking of Johnson's friend. Not a lot to be got out of him.
Well, I should have thought it pretty plain that he has not the intellect to have been about anything of importance to you or anyone else.
Lenville.
If you have something to say,
No, not I. Carry on, please.
With a certain amount of trepidation, Nicholas rehearses his scenes with La Snevellicci, the result being a memorable Romeo and Juliet.
Eyes look your last. Heart make your last embrace, and with this poison make a dateless bargain with engrossing death.
No, love! My Romeo! Put aside the poison vial, and by my side dwell a long summer while!
And a memorable apothecary. And soon after, Nicholas finds himself one late night struggling with the noble Dane.
Assume a virtue, if you have it not.
Enter. Ah, Lenville, will you hear my Hamlet?
Do not provoke me, boy.
I have come merely to ask what hour tomorrow will be convenient for you to meet me at the theatre, for the purpose of having your nose pulled in front of the company.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Since you've come here, I have done nothing except second business. I will not stand for it.
I should think not. Any more of this nonsense, and I've a good mind to throw you down the stairs.
You don't scare me, sir. Oh, no, sir. Tomorrow, upon which hour, I say?
Oh, any hour you choose.
11, then, sir. Be there, or be forever branded a wretch.
Yes, yes, all right, then. Now, good night to you, then. Go on.
The next day, at the appointed hour.
Wretch! Object of my scorn and hatred! I hold ye in contempt.
Oh, really?
Present your nose for pulling, sir.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid not.
Try this.
Oh! Oh, a blow! A real blow! To the face, what is more!
I fall! Noble Enville falls like
a fool. Get up, man, and apologize.
For you, for the company, for the profession, I apologize.
Humbly and submissively?
Very well. But my time will come again.
Very good. But in future, be careful of the lengths your jealousy carries you. And before you threaten to tweak a fellow's nose, find out what sort of temper he might have.
Listen to him. The very temper of the Dane. You'll make a great Hamlet, sir.
A word with you, Mr. Crummles, if I may. I may not be with you for much longer.
How long? Wednesday, I'll have the posters printed last performance.
Perhaps the end of the week or next week.
Never fear. We'll have a whole week of last performances and see if that don't send you away with at least £20 in your pocket.
In point of fact, Nicholas's triumph is to last no more than a week. On the Friday of which he receives a letter from Newman Noggs. Very inky, very short, very dirty, very mysterious, and above all, very urgent. Nicholas must return to London now, tonight, if possible.
Can't we have one more last night?
Not an hour, not a minute. Here, sir, take my hand, and with it my hearty thanks. Oh, I curse every second I am not on the road, that I am not with my darling Kate and Mama.
Oh, if only you could act like that. Well, fare thee well, my noble, my lion-hearted boy. We shall not see your like again. Farewell.
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 Farewell. Farewell. Farewell.